The Canine Genetics Centre at the University of Cambridge is home to a team of dedicated researchers, all of whom are passionate about improving the health of dogs. And I'm delighted to say that Dr. Catherine Mellersh joins me in the studio here at a very packed Crufts. Catherine, really good to see you. Fascinating world that you live in, canine genetics. Tell me about the work that you do.
Yes, so I lead a team of eight geneticists at the University of Cambridge. We're based at the Vet School. And we research inherited diseases in dogs. So I think it's not a secret that some breeds of dog are more prone to certain inherited disorders than other breeds. So we work with the people who own those dogs and who breed those dogs and the vets who treat those dogs to understand those diseases, and we collect DNA from dogs that are affected with those disorders and DNA from dogs of the same breeds who do not have those same disorders, and we compare the DNA. So we really dive into the genomes of these dogs to pinpoint the precise genetic change, mutation that's underpinning those diseases. And then once we've found those, we can develop DNA tests. And the point of the DNA tests is that breeders can screen their dogs prior to breeding and choose a male and a female dog to mate together that won't produce affected puppies.
This is sometimes referred to as the selective breeding process, I guess, isn't it? Where you breed out certain conditions. I'm thinking historically we had things with Bedlington Terriers and their livers, didn't we? And that's the sort of thing we're talking about.
It is. It's selective breeding against or away from deleterious mutations. And some of these mutations are recessive. So a dog can carry one copy of a mutation and have one healthy copy of the same piece of DNA, and those are called carriers. And those carriers are perfectly healthy, so it can be quite hard for a breeder to know that their dog is carrying a particular mutation. But a DNA test can reveal those carriers and enable the breeders to sort of make very sensible and informed breeding decisions that eventually, over time, can be used to eliminate those mutations from breeds, but without decreasing the genetic diversity of a breed. So that's quite important.
Is it the same as within humans? If you have a maximum number of repetitions of a faulty gene in a particular chromosome, that it could present itself, but you could be a carrier and not present symptoms?
Yeah, so all dogs, all humans, have two copies of all of their DNA, one that comes from their mum and one that comes from their dad. And if some of these mutations, yes, I say many of them are recessive, so if a dog inherits the same mutation from mum and dad and has two copies, then that they will be clinically affected with that disease. So the aim is to enable breeders to breed with carriers, but they, as long as they breed them to a dog that doesn't carry a copy of the same mutation. And then over time, they can keep selecting for all the things that they want to that makes a good border collie and a good, you know, dachshund, but without the risk of those inherited diseases being passed on.
What are the most prevalent ones? What are the ones that you're seeing or that people come to you and say, can you help with this?
So we do a lot of work on inherited eye diseases. We work very closely with the British Veterinary Association and Kennel Club Eye Scheme. So there's lots of different inherited eye diseases in dogs, progressive retinal atrophy and inherited forms of glaucoma. So we work a lot on those. And increasingly, we're starting to look at the genetics of more complex diseases. So idiopathic epilepsy is a big focus of our work at the moment. So those are more complex diseases. So they won't be down to just one mutation in one gene. And that means it's a bigger job to tease apart the genetics, but we're making some very, you know, promising progress. We're also investigating intervertebral disc disease, which is quite a prevalent problem in dachshunds, for example, but also French bulldogs and some cocker spaniels. So yes, we have a lot of different programs going on. And at the point of our research is we focus on the diseases that are problems for dogs. So we really sit back and wait for the dog breeders and the vets to come to us with the diseases that they are seeing, you know, more and more often. And that's the driver, really, of the research that, that we do. We focus on the diseases that matter to the dogs. Mm.
Crufts isn't just for pedigree dogs. We see a lot of crossbreeds and mongrels, call them whatever you will, appearing at Crufts in obedience and agility and flyball. Are there particular things that affect crossbreed dogs more than pedigree dogs?
There are diseases that segregate in multiple breeds, and some of these sort of so-called designer crossbreed dogs can be prone to those as well. And I think it's an unfortunate misconception in some cases that these cockapoos and labradoodles are inherently healthier than pedigree dogs because they're crossbreeds. And you know, there's data coming out that that is not necessarily the case, because I think some of the people breeding these dogs are not doing the extent of health testing that the breeders of many of the pure breeds are doing. You know, we've shown, and data has been published, that some of these numerically small breeds are very, very good at health testing. You know, there's a very high uptake of DNA tests and clinical screening tests that I suspect is absent from some of these designer dogs. So I think anybody buying any puppy, regardless of their breed makeup, should be asking questions of the breeders about the health checks that have been done on the parents. Because I think a lot of those are applicable regardless of the breed makeup of the puppy.
How big is the team at Cambridge?
There are nine of us. So there's myself, and I have a fabulous team of eight people. And yes, we've worked together for about over 120 years. So we have...
We're not quite collectively,
absolutely. So we have a fabulous range of expertise there, you know, from bioinformatics to people who work with the DNA to people who manage the samples. We have a sample collection of over 40,000 DNA samples in our freezers. So yes, it's one person's job to sort of manage those, collect new DNA samples, log those into our database. So that's a really unique resource that no other research group in the UK has a DNA sample collection of that many different dog samples. So yeah, we're very proud of that sample, and we're very keen to protect that for future use in research.
What successes have you had in identifying particular things and therefore being part of positive change?
So over the years, we have identified 32 different mutations causing, you know, different inherited diseases. And those 32 mutations segregate or have been found in, I think it's about 45 different breeds. So 45 different breeds of dog have now got a DNA test to help improve their health thanks to the work of the Canine Genetics Centre.
What are some of those breeds that you're talking about?
They range from the Labrador Retriever, the Golden Retriever, to Dachshunds, to the Miniature Bull Terrier, the Lancashire Heeler, the Staffordshire Bull Terrier, lots and lots of different breeds.
Are you a dog owner?
I am a dog owner.
What have you got?
I've got two quite naughty Whippet crosses.
Do they provide samples for your testing? Are they part of your programme?
We have collected their DNA, yes. I collect my DNA from DNA from all of my dogs. It's yes, it goes into the freezer, yeah.
How did you get into the canine side of things, Catherine?
I did my PhD at Leicester University, and that wasn't a particularly successful piece of research, and I didn't particularly enjoy myself, and I was ready to go in and do something different for the rest of my life. But my now husband had one more year to go for his PhD. So I accepted a job with Jeff Sampson, who later went on to work for the Kennel Club, but he was a lecturer at Leicester University at that time. And he had money from guide dogs, actually, to start to find some of the very first markers in the canine genome. So nowadays, we know every letter of the canine genome, but back then, this was in 1991, virtually nothing was known about the canine genome. So my job was to find the very first markers and to start to put them together. So I told Jeff I would do that for 1 year, and then my husband would have finished and I was going to go off and do something else. But long story short, I finished all 4 years of that position, and I've worked in the field of canine genetics ever since.
Hmm. the DNA and the word genome, a lot more people have read about it and understood it over the past two decades, probably. But we're just scratching the surface of knowledge. And they say little knowledge is a dangerous thing, don't they? So I read somewhere about the DNA between primates and humans being very, very close. How disparate is a canine genome from the human genome?
Parts of it are very similar. So the coding regions of the genome, that the actual code for the genes that make the proteins, they're very similar. And so we make use of that. So we will compare, if we have a candidate gene that we're looking for that we think might be involved in a particular disease, we can compare the dog gene with the human gene and use that information. So if we find a change in a dog gene, we can use that to predict how important that change is likely to be. And so the gene sequences between a dog and a human are pretty much, you know, identical or 99% the same. So we're not as different from our best friends as we might like to think.
I wonder if that is a contributing factor to the relationship that we have with dogs.
I mean, there's a lot of research going on as to the origins of the domestic dog and when they were first domesticated and how they became domesticated. I think current estimates are between 10,000 and 30,000 years ago. So the dog was the first animal to be domesticated, so before any other agricultural species. And current thinking is that they developed from wolves, but those very, very first wolves were slightly less fearful of humans than maybe their brothers and sisters. And they literally came out of the woods to live alongside humans. So it's not a case that humans went into the woods and sort of captured wolves and tried to tame them. It's almost like the wolves took it upon themselves to befriend humans and probably lived alongside those hunter-gatherers, feeding off human leftovers. And there is a very unique, I think unique is a word that's overused, but it really is a unique relationship between humans and dogs. Dogs can read our body language. So if you point at something, a dog will follow your point. And that's something that a wolf doesn't do, and it's something that a chimpanzee doesn't do. So it's something, you know, very, very particular to the domestic dog. And that's why I think we as humans owe it to dogs to make sure that they live as healthy and as happy a life as they possibly can. And that's why I've dedicated my life to trying to improve their health.
That is fascinating. They say every day's a learning day, don't they? I have learned so much chatting to you, Catherine. Thank you. Now, I know that you are looking for support, aren't you, from dog lovers, from anybody, in fact, but dog lovers, to continue the work that you're doing.
We are. It costs quite a lot of money to run our research team, between £300,000 and £400,000 a year. We work very hard to secure grants from funding bodies. But currently, yes, we do have a fairly significant funding shortfall certainly for the next 12 months and actually for the few years beyond that. So yes, we are actively seeking funds from people who own dogs, who breed dogs, and who care about the welfare of dogs. If they would please contribute whatever they can to our fund, our research, that would be hugely appreciated.
How can people find out more and obviously, importantly, make a donation?
They certainly can. So they can visit our website, which is www.canine-genetics.org.uk/fundourfuture. And there's all details on there of the many ways that people can donate.
Catherine Mellish, an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio here at Crufts. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much for having me.